morning.
Scripture this morning is Matthew 7, 7 through 11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?
And let the church say amen. This is not my fault. It's the fault of two short women. See, my mama wanted me to have an open house. That's from 2 to 4. And then Lynn made me clean my house and made me take stuff up into the attic. But you're all invited from 2 to 4 at the house over at 409 Thrash Road. Look forward to having you. Please be patient, because we're going to spend this morning and tonight talking about one of the subjects that is, in my judgment, a necessity that is often overlooked and neglected, in that we have relegated prayer to something that takes place in this building or something that takes place at the dinner table. And I submit to you today, please, with the help of your prayers, that it is so much more than that. I heard a fellow say one time that every prayer is a wish, but all wishes are not prayers. And what I want you to take home with you this morning is that before prayer can be real to you, there must be a sense of need. And that's why I ask this fine young man to read this passage in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Because I notice that prayer is an asking. And sin, your sin, my sin, our sin, has separated us from God, making us dependent. Are you listening? Making us dependent such that asking is a necessity. Someone has said that prayer is the voice of a hungry man and begging for bread. A hungry man begging for bread. It's the voice of a thirsty man begging for water. Well, the passage read in your hearing a moment ago says not only is it an asking, it is a seeking. And I'm aware of the fact that sin, once again, has robbed us. Sin in your life, sin in my life, sin in our life has robbed us of these precious values. And that's why I'm so glad we partake of communion every first day of the week. Because the death of Jesus, the broken body, the blood that was shed, reminds you and me of our need to find something better. And I'm challenged by that thought this morning. Are you with me? That the reason you're here, I'm here, we're here to leave this building more dedicated and more consecrated than when we came in, because we're seeking something better. So, prayer is an asking. Prayer is a seeking. But wait a minute, what else did you read a while ago? Sin is not only that. Sin is a knocking. Or rather, prayer is a knocking, I beg your pardon. Prayer is a knocking. Why? Because sin has shut the door of heaven against us. Do you think of your sin like that? I know Isaiah said it in the long ago, that our sins have what? Separated us. But take that a step further. Sin has shut the door of heaven against us. Now, I don't want to be misunderstood. I'm not insinuating this morning that prayer is the only avenue to get to heaven. Nowhere in this book is anybody ever told to pray a prayer in order to be saved. With all due respect to our religious neighbors, on the day of Pentecost, when they interrupted Peter and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter didn't say, "Pray this prayer." That Ethiopian nobleman on the way that's traveling, and he's Philip gets on the chariot with him, and he began at that verse and preached to him Jesus. The nobleman didn't stop him and say, "Oh, let's stop right here and have this prayer." He said, "Here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And I want to be crystal clear on that this morning, that as vital as prayer is, it's not our avenue to salvation. But how vital it is in maintaining our salvation. It was pointed out in our class this morning about the book of James. James does not tell us what to do to be saved. He tells us what to do if we are saved. And it's in that book of James that it says the effectual, fervent, somebody say it, prayer of a righteous man availeth much, doesn't it, Henry? That's the way it works, isn't it? It's that avenue that saved people have in communicating with God and continuing that knocking. And that's why I love the analogy that my Jesus uses about prayer in his parable about the friend at midnight. You remember that one? Because it illustrates beautifully the effort that you need to put forth, I need to put forth, we need to put forth in our praying. Let me ask you a question. You ever prayed for something once and gave up on it? Let that soak in. You ever prayed for something once and then gave up on it? The friend at midnight says, we keep on. Now, I'm so glad that we have good men in this church that stand up and publicly pray for those that are sick. We're just going to do that once? I hope not. I hope not. It's a knocking. It is continual. And once again, I want to emphasize that it takes effort on our part, because I'm not going to argue with you. If you've never been there, just keep on living. There are going to be times in your life when you don't feel like praying. There are going to be times in your life when you're going to get discouraged. And like my grandmother used to say, it's just the old devil. And you're going to think, what's the use? We're going to talk about that tonight. And so I'm so glad that the Bible speaks so very clearly of prayer as a knocking. Because there's an illustration of it in the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 32. And Dad, I just noticed this, really. I think it slipped my mind, but it was for the first time. You remember Jacob wrestling with an angel? Jacob is wrestling with an angel. And do you remember what Jacob said to him? I won't let you go until you bless me. Is that arrogant? Is that bombast? Is that presumptuous? No, my friend, that's faith. That's faith. That you love God enough. You're on a relational basis with Him such that you can say, I'm not going to let you go. And so prayer is just that. It's an asking. Prayer is a seeking. Prayer is all about my energy, if you will, being channeled in a direct communication with a God that loves me and a Jesus that died for me. Now, let me ask you a question. How efficient is it? How's that working out for you? Once again, this fine young man read in Matthew chapter 7, and he talks about verse 7, asking and seeking and knocking. But verse 8 says what? For everyone who asks receives. I love that. And the one who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it shall be open. Now, Mama, you knew I was going to talk about the grandparents. And your precious mother, when we lived behind them, it had us to. I would walk around to her kitchen door and stand at that screen door and say, Mom, can I come in your house? Remember that? Did she ever tell me no? Not a chance. Not a chance. And I'm so glad that we serve a God who listens. Thank you, Brother Larry. And I'm so glad that we serve a God who cares about what's going on. But does that mean He's going to give us everything we want? Does that mean He's going to give us whatever we like? My daddy used to use an illustration. I didn't understand it. I understand it now. He used to say that God's love is not like a permissive grandfather. Makes perfect sense to me now. That doesn't mean because He loves you, He's going to give you everything you want. He's not going to spoil us. Now here's the point. Are you ready? Our wishes, our desires have to be concurrent, as we say in law. They have to run parallel with His word. And that's why I'm so glad that Walter pointed out in class this morning the necessity of staying in this book. People struggle wanting to know what the will of God is for them. It's right here, folks. We wonder what decisions we ought to make ethically. It's right here in this book. We even struggled at the courthouse in making decisions about what to do legally. I've illustrated before that we were about to have a capital murder trial where we were putting some teenagers on trial for capital murder, and we were going to seek the death penalty. Secretary called me in my office and on the intercom and said, Robbie wants to see you. He wants to talk to you about this case. I thought, oh good, he wants my legal expertise, my opinion. I walk in there, I said, yeah, boss, what's up? He said, I want you to pray with me. I'm about to do something I've never done as a prosecutor, and that is seek the death penalty for teenagers. And we got down on our knees in his office, and we prayed about it. Why? Not just because of the effectiveness of prayer, but because of the efficiency of prayer. understanding how difficult it is in your life and in mine. And I want to head the list this morning in confessing I struggle with this. In praying like Jesus did, we'll talk more about this tonight. In praying, not my will, but thine be done. That's hard to do sometimes, isn't it, Matt? That's hard to do raising kids sometimes, isn't it? And so that's why the effectiveness of prayer and the efficiency of prayer is identified right here in this book. You can't imagine how efficient prayer can be in your life until you begin to look at the countless blessings that are enumerated in this book. I read something the other day that just kind of touched my life. A fellow wrote, and I quote, "If a man is admitted into the bullion vault, and he comes out empty-handed, whose fault is it that he's poor?" And I thought, if that doesn't describe my brethren, I don't know what does. Anybody admitted to a bank vault and comes out poor, ain't nobody's fault but yours. And the same thing is true spiritually in your life and my life, because we have admittance to Fort Knox, spiritually speaking. And if we come out poor, it's not our fault. So the Bible speaks of the effectiveness of prayer in that passage. The Bible speaks of the efficiency of prayer in that passage. There's one other thing. And it's something I've heard my daddy pray all my life, that the Lord would help us realize how bad we need thee every hour. That's still true, isn't it, Dad? But one of the things this passage helps me to do is it encourages me to pray. The Bible tells us in verse 9 of this passage, "Oh, what man is there among you when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he shall ask a fish, will give him a snake? Will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those that ask him?" You talk about a rhetorical question. You talk about asking a question like we used to do in court, that there is no real answer. That's the encouragement I need. That's the encouragement you need. That's the encouragement we need to pray. We find that encouragement in the nature of fatherhood. Folks, I'm so glad that the Bible tells us that God is good. And therefore, he delights in helping his children. And he delights even more in helping his grandchildren. God delights in that because God's good. Not only is God good, but this passage teaches us that God is wise. And every parent and every grandparent struggles sometimes trying to decide what's best to do for our kids. Do I take this job and move? Do I take this job and stay but change shifts? Do I take this promotion? The list is endless. And yet, it's in this passage we find that our God knows how to bless his children. And he says, if earthly fathers know how to bless their children, how much more Does our Heavenly Father know how to do good unto His children? So we serve a God that's good. We serve a God that's wise. We serve a God that's powerful. I've been quoting the book of Daniel all my life. But it took cancer. It took lying in intensive care with a stroke for the words of Daniel to really impress upon my heart and my mind the power of this statement. Our God is able to deliver us. Amen, church. Our God is able to deliver us. And I tell you, when you're lying in intensive care and you got tubes in your veins and you're watching all kind of screens and your heart's beating right before your very eyes, sometimes we need a reminder of how able our God is. And I say again, with the fruit of the vine still on your lips and the taste of that bread still in your mouth, that's a walking, talking, living, breathing illustration of the fact that our God is able to do what? He is able to bless us. So what about you, my friend? If you're out of Christ, I don't want to be misunderstood. We hope to baptize you this morning. If you're hurting and if you're struggling, we want to pray with you and we want to pray for you. I say again, the presence of my guests tonight, today, reminds me of something that used to happen to me as a child. And that is that, again, after Christmas or birthday, when we opened our presents, invariably I'd break one of them. I'd break one of those presents I just had received as a gift. And naturally, my brother and I would take that to him and say, "Fix it, Daddy." And he would. But after about that fourth time, he'd say, "I'm going to fix it, but don't bring it back again." You know what? I did the same thing to my three. "Your time's coming, Matt." I did the same thing to my three. "Fix it, Daddy." "All right, baby boy, but don't bring it back again." I'm so glad that we serve a God that doesn't say, "Don't bring it back again." I'm so glad that we serve a God that doesn't say, "Wait a minute, Gary, I didn't fix that once." I'm so glad that we serve a God that doesn't say, "Now look, I'm tired of wasting time on you." I'm glad that we serve a God who says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you." Aren't you tired? Aren't you tired of trying to do it on your own? Aren't you tired of trying to fix it yourself? Wouldn't you like to know the complete, absolute healing that comes from a God that loves you and a Jesus that died for you and a Holy Spirit that's going to comfort you? And that's why, if you've never been baptized, with every fiber of our being, we beg you to say yes to Jesus who said yes to the cross. But more than that, if you're hurting and you're struggling, and you need the prayers of this church, You're surrounded by people who love you. And we'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. Right now, while we stand, while we sing, Matt will lead us. Do you remember when you obeyed the gospel? Long time ago, wasn't it, guys? But it was a great day, wasn't it? This is a great day. Peyton Owens has come forward this morning stating that she wants to put the Lord on in baptism. And the reason this precious lady is up on the front row with her is because of the influence that she's had in Peyton's life and on the lives of so many other of our kids. And it is a joy and a delight. What did John say? I have no greater joy than to know that my children, your children, walk in truth. And so we're going to take Peyton's confession and then we'll attend to the baptizing. Stand up for me, darling. Do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Yes, sir. I know you do. You've been taught that all your life, haven't you? But now then, you've come to a time in your life when you're going to make that decision and put him on in baptism. And we love you. And we're going to take care of that right now. I'll go with him. Miss Amy will help you.
While they're getting ready back there, we'll... Yes. Now JT can hear me now. While they're getting ready, we'll sing a few songs. Let's turn to 679. 679. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. Just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace do trust him more. Oh, how sweet do trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith do plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace do trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Number 674. 674. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back.
Faith and obedience to the command of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, based on your confession that he is the Son of the living God. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That church say amen.
Amen.
Everybody, please stand. We'll sing our closing song and then have our closing prayer. Start with me to number 4. We'll sing the first stanza. This one will be dismissed to prayer.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded did his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
Amen.